If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We take up our study of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is an unusual book. There is not one controversy in the book of Ephesians. Galatians, they decided to become good Old Testament followers. In Colossians, there were all sorts of trouble. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, all sorts of trouble. Hebrews, all sorts of trouble. Philippians had Iodius and Syntyche that were fighting. But it's amazing that the book of Ephesians has no real problem in it. Paul just teaches the depth of Christian understanding to them, and there are no problems. However, Paul invested 3.5 years at this church. And if we know the history of any church in the New Testament, we know the church of Ephesus the best. They started out wondrously well. Not a controversy. A great church. But for the book of Ephesians, we wouldn't know that in Revelation. 30 years later, the congregation at Ephesus had a problem that haunts me. For it is said of that church at Ephesus that after starting out well, no bickering and fighting, no problems, they had lost their first love. You know, I think about that. We'll have to get there and talk about what does it mean for a church to have lost their first love. Here is a church that in this book, of course, there will be controversial things. We're going to have to talk about predestination. That'll rile up enough people to where that's a controversy in itself. But there was no real controversy then. But they lost their first love. And we'll have to talk about what that means for a church to start out well and then grow cold, go to formality, and to lose their zeal for Jesus Christ. We're going to have to talk about that. But this morning, we want to go back to our history of the book of Ephesians. Okay, we're going to talk about the outline. If I can only get one thing across at a time, this is what we'll do. We're going to give the outline once again of the book of Ephesians. Okay, this is a dangerous question. Does anybody remember the outline to the book of Ephesians? Repetition is what? Necessary. Key to learning. Key to learning is? And it finally gets in. Here we go. Chapters 1 through 3, the call of the church. God has given the highest calling to the church of Jesus Christ. The highest calling. 1 through 3, the highest calling of God's people. Well, if we've been given the highest calling and God has not spared even His own Son, what does that mean in 4 through 6? It means this. The call of the church, 1 through 3, means we need to pay attention to the conduct of the church. If we have been given a high calling in 1 through 3, and it's the highest calling, what does that mean churches should act like in their conduct? Churches should have the highest conduct. And that means that Ephesians 4:1 is the key verse. I knew a guy where I preached. He would never go through 4 through 6. He loved 1 through 3. But when it talks about conduct, he didn't want to go there. The theme verse is 4:1. I, therefore, in light of chapters 1 through 3 and all that I'm going to talk about, the prisoner of the Lord. Boy, Paul's in prison for the gospel. I, therefore, entreat. That word entreat, you know what that means in Greek? Beg. He's begging Christians. I think pastors would do a lot better if they begged rather than commanded. I beg you, the prisoner of the Lord, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. And I think about that, and I think about all the churches I see, and I think of all of the preachers that I see, and I give the church an F for their conduct. How do you like that? Overall, how do you think the conduct of the church is? How many testimonies have been ruined as churches fight, as churches do not follow the love of Jesus Christ, as churches do not display the nature of Jesus Christ in what they do? You see, if God has given us the highest calling, then that demands God's people pay attention to their conduct, their actions, walk worthy. Now, he's not talking this morning about don't smoke, don't chew, and don't go with those who do. Those are man-made rules. Now, smoking isn't good for you. Chewing ain't good for you. But he's not talking about that. He's talking about acting in a Christ-like manner in everything that we do. And I don't think the church does very well here at all. Churches love to lay down rules and love to point the finger at the world. You ever notice that? Religious people love to point the finger at the world. You know what Paul said about that? In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul says, those outside the church, guess who their judge is? God, not us. Christians need to be paying attention to the conduct within the church. We expect the world to act the way they do. And they do. But what grieves God is when the church is no different than the world. So, you who have come from a variety of different backgrounds, how do you think the church has been doing in their conduct? And if you give a good grade, I wonder about that. As I've said, I know it bothers people, but I'm ashamed to be a preacher. Why is that, Pastor Dave? Because look at every last preacher that you see on television or in prominence. And when you see that preacher, do they glorify Jesus Christ? Do they exalt Him? Or do they take up collections? Do they exalt their ministry? Put their name on books? Until all you see when it's all over is that preacher. It bothers me. And I think it bothers God to see glory given to any other than Jesus Christ Himself. But I'm a dangerous guy. Don't have many friends. But friends are expensive. So let's go back to this church that began out well and somehow lost their first love. Let's go back to Acts. Acts chapter 18. We're looking at the history of this church. Paul went to this church and probably started it on the second missionary journey in Acts 18. Verses 18 through 19. He left it. Came back. In the third missionary journey of Acts 19. He started preaching in the synagogue. And guess what happens when you preach Jesus Christ? You go to jail. Have you heard? I read an article this morning. I know I'm going to make you mad, but that's Pastor Dave. I got a text from a Marine, a wonderful Marine. If scripture verses are seen on military desks, they will be court-martialed now. The Air Force has withdrawn on the oath of office, so help me God. They are no longer able, I think of the precious Gideons that go to schools as terrorists and give them that hate literature of New Testaments. Well, now the military no longer allows. They used to have the branches of the military would have their insignia and a New Testament given to the men. They're Bolton now. Now let me shock you even further and make you mad. In that same article, I saw Vladimir Putin praying with his troops, with clergy. He always wears a cross that his mother gave him and talks about while he's president, he will not allow the decadence of the West to infect his people. Could it be, and here I'm going to make you mad, that what the press says is our enemy really may be more of a friend to us Christians than we realize, and what could be what is said to be our friends may be more of an enemy of the gospel than you can realize? Why was I here? Tell me how I got here. Where was I talking? I can't do this to me anymore. You know, I used to make fun of guys like me when I was young. They would get lost, and then they couldn't find their way back. What was I down that road? Right, they got mad at him. Thank you. Thanks, George. Glad you're back. They got mad at me. I do that a lot anymore. I don't know what that's incipient dementia, Alzheimer's. I don't know, Doc, but I get lost a lot. Anyway, going back to this. Paul preached and made him mad. They threw him out of the synagogue. How do you know if a preacher's doing his job? People are upset. When Jesus preached, if I lose myself, Steve, you help me get back. When Jesus preached, he lost most of his disciples. Did you know that? Now that's a preacher. He said to them, boys, you want to leave? And they said, no, Lord, only you have the words of eternal life. So if you're going to be a preacher, who are you trying to win over? So he got kicked out and he went to Tyrannus' school and he rented a school. How many churches have started and rented a school? Remember John Cox, our youth pastor years ago? Remember that? Anybody? He's back in North Carolina and they had to rent a school. It goes back to the first century. So they rented a school. And Christianity in verse 9 got its first name at Ephesus. And you know what the first name of Christianity was? The Way. You ever heard of the church on the Way? Where do you think they got that from? They stole it from the book of Acts. It was called the Way. Why do you think they call the church the Way? There you go. What were they proclaiming in those churches? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and everybody can get to God in many ways. You want to get people mad? Tell them what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes up. How bigoted, prejudicial. But that's what Jesus said, and the church upheld that, walked into Ephesus, and named the first church the Church of the Way at Ephesus. And they proclaimed what? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And they said, let the chips fall where they may. And he got kicked out of the synagogue, but Paul didn't care. Going back to Acts 19. And for 2 years he preached at this school so that all who lived in Asia... Do you know how many people lived in Asia? Hundreds of thousands. This was the capital of Turkey today. You know, have you ever heard of Turkey? You know where all the ISIS oil is going? Turkey's buying it. Aiding ISIS. Ooh, we got an interesting world we live in. And the Russians are blowing up all the tankers because that's the way to stop ISIS is you blow up their money supply. So guess who's blowing up the money supply? The Russians. Guess who's trying to give them money? The Western allies. What's wrong with this picture? Anyway, all of Asia, which is now Turkey, the church has been wiped out. This is Turkey. All of these churches in the book of Revelation and Ephesus, and all, they were all in Turkey. They were all Christians. And then the church grew careless. And the rest is history. Turkey today is an enemy of the gospel. And it's filled with a denial of Jesus Christ now. With the precious people who are now Islamic that need the gospel message. And what will they do if you preach Jesus among Islamics? They'll behead you. But when Paul went in, the gospel made an impact, and all of those in Asia heard the word of the Lord, Jews and Greeks. How did they do that? No TV? No radio? No community, no internet. What would we do without the internet today? Do you pay your bills on the internet? Huh? No? The internet goes down, nobody gets paid. You know what I mean? That's all it is. If they didn't have Amazon Prime, what could you do? Look at all the technology we have. What excuse do we have that the gospel can't go everywhere? On foot. Preaching the word. These people turned Asia upside down. We have no excuse. Verse 11, and God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hand of Paul, so that handkerchiefs and aprons were even carried from the body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. Now, let me stop right here and tell you there's a lot of preachers that try to do this today and they're frauds. I love to send for their mailing lists of these preachers. I got one from a famous preacher. He sent me a cross that glowed in the dark. He said, I have kissed this cross. Now you kiss it and you'll get thousands of dollars from God. He sent me a thing that... It was a flat piece of paper with the outline of two shoes, and I was to put the Bible on the floor and then put the piece of paper with the two shoe prints on it and stand on the promises of the word. And I was given holy water from the Jordan River and oil from the Middle East. Listen, this was a confirmatory miracle for the first century by the hands of Paul, an apostle. That doesn't mean that every preacher can do this. That doesn't mean that God doesn't work miracles. But these guys that do that today, run from them. And notice what it said. Diseases left them and evil spirits left. Now listen to me. When Paul got into Ephesus, do you know that this was a center of occult? This would be the equivalent today of Paul coming into New York City with all of its occult bookshops and everything that that city has. And this was, in many ways, Ephesus, an assault on the spirit of the power of the air that we read this morning. Because Satan had this place locked down. On the hill was this huge, beautiful temple that worshipped this deity, female deity. See, ladies? Female deity, worshipped. And the whole city was locked into an occult, strong vice. And Paul goes to preach the word of God, and he starts assaulting it. And by the way, that's what did Paul in. I wanted to tell you right now. Do you know that did Paul in? Because when Paul gets done with this city, guess who's out of work? The metallurgist that made the idols of Diana. And guess who testified against him at his trial in front of Nero? Those metallurgists. Alexander the coppersmith, 2 Timothy, did me much harm. And he lost his head because he hid him in the financial pocketbook. Paul went in and the Lord began to remove the demonic force that was on this city. By the way, I don't hope you're not so sophisticated that you do not realize that there is a prince of the power of the air. I hope you're not so sophisticated that you forget that as much as the world no longer thinks this way, there is a God of this world. And when there is the blindness against Christ, you can bet that there is a wicked force behind that kind of thing. Look what it says. Some of the Jews who were exorcists went from place to place and attempted to name over those who had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, these exorcists who were Jewish didn't believe in Jesus. But you know what they were noticing? As Paul came into that city, and he began to preach the word of God, guess what started to present itself? Demonic force. It's hidden today. It's behind closed doors, but it's here. And when Paul went in and started preaching the word of God, they started, these demonic, as weird as this sounds, these demonic evil forces began to exhibit themselves, and unbelieving Jews began to recognize that there was power in the name of Yeshua. In the name of Jesus, there is power. And so what they tried to do was, their motive was money. Hey, if that name works for these apostles, maybe I can get some money. So they put out an exorcist shingle. And they started using Jesus' name because they knew there was power in the name and they could make money. Paul didn't want money. He wanted people free. So look what it says. I adjure you in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by whom Paul preaches. Now, they didn't believe, but they knew, guess what? There was power in the name of Jesus, and they were using Jesus' name. I adjure you in Jesus, the Joshua that Paul preaches. And I love what happens here. And seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And here's what the evil spirit answered. These evil spirits know the scorecard. They know the scorecard. Look what it says. And the evil spirit answered and said, I know Jesus. I know Yeshua. I know Paul. But who in the heck are you? Now, what that means is this. There was power in the name of Jesus, but only those who are truly His children will ever realize the power of the name of Jesus. And when these guys thought they could do this without believing in Jesus, they had a real surprise coming for them, and the demons laughed. I know Joshua. I know Paul. But who the heck are you? In other words, you have no power because you don't believe. There is power in the name of Jesus for those who believe. And the man in whom was the evil spirit, where is this at? Ephesus. Why is there evil spirits in Ephesus? Because the whole city was in the bondage of the occult. There were the worship of idols. By the way, just to shock you a little bit, they worshipped Diana or Artemis. I got a shock for you today. In the hallowed halls of the elite wealthy of America and Europe, this was in Christianity Today, although some people call it Christianity Astray, that behind closed doors in America and in Europe among the elites, the worship of this deity has revived. And they're back into these ancient satanic cults. You would be surprised what goes on in the darkness of America and Europe. And it says here, the man leaped on them and subdued all of them and overpowered them. So they went out of the house naked and wounded. Total humiliation. What would that tell you about this city? What would that tell you about this city? It was completely under the power of Satan. If he's the prince of the power of the air, you'd be surprised at his control. But we're too sophisticated now. The modern age, we don't think that these things exist. I'm telling you, as America vacuums out Christianity from its culture, guess what fills the vacuum? You would be shocked at the extent that the vacuum is being filled in by demonic force in our country. Don't you tell me that when Woodrow Wilson used to give the troops New Testaments in World War I, and they were free to put the gospel anywhere they wanted. But you tell me today, when they're told they can't have a scripture verse on their desk, they don't say the oath with any mention of God and the court-martialing that's going on, that isn't a sign that something's gone very wrong spiritually within the country. And I find it deliciously ironic. As much as Putin, I know you'd say, well, he's a politician, promotes Christianity now in what we used to call the evil empire. And in what we think is the good empire, Jesus is ostracized and removed. We are fighting a spiritual battle. And that's what Paul found out. And that's what these sons of Sceva found out. And they were defeated. And this became known to Jews and Greeks who lived in Ephesus, and fear fell, verse 17, upon them all. You know why people do what they do in America today? Do you know why people walk into places and shoot people? Do you know why? You know what's been lost in our country? Fear of God. If they really knew that they would stand before God for what they did, do you think those people would be willing to go in and murder innocents like what happens? You know what they're doing in Texas as of January the 1st? As of January the 1st, you know what happens in Texas? Every citizen has the right, without license, to open carry. I'm not advocating that, I'm just telling you. Fear fell upon them all. Why do you think we have so much in our country that is going? Because there's no fear of God anymore. There's no preaching about the fear of God. Nobody wants to hear it. You got people at the Houston Rocket Dome telling them God wants you to be wealthy and prosperous and fill you with boats and money, and there's no fear of God. He's Santa Claus now. I don't even think he's Santa Claus, because at least Santa Claus is keeping a list, finding out who's naughty or nice. Fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was being what? Magnified. Guess what they do in Hollywood with the name of Jesus? I often wonder why they didn't use Mao, Stalin, Lenin to be curse words in Hollywood. Hitler? Oh, go to Hitler. Why don't they do that? If you want evil, there it is. But they take the precious name of Jesus. Hollywood. Yeah, I go to movies. I'm not that much of a fundamentalist. But they take the name of Jesus in almost every movie and they defile it. Well, where do you think that comes from? From the pits of hell. See, at the name of Jesus used by people who know the power of the name, there is power and exaltation in the name of Jesus. So what does Satan do with his minions? He defiles the name of Jesus. And that's all you see on television. Why? Because I think Hollywood, you can quote me, there's enough literature on it, is in the pit of Satan's hand. You remember the guy that played Jesus in Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion? Jim Cazzavelle? Hasn't been able to work ever since in a good movie because they said to him, because you did that movie, you will never work again in Hollywood. And he lost out for that movie. Because they hate Jesus. But in Ephesus, the power of Jesus' name was being magnified. Many also, verse 18, of those who had believed kept coming, and look what it says, confessed their practices. He's not talking about crooked attorneys. He's not talking about crooked accountants. Look what they were confessing. Their practices of being into the occult. You want to assault Satan? Preach the word of God in its purity. You want to assault him? This is why no preacher today on television assaults Satan. Because what do you get from those pieces of ilk? Prosperity gospel? Feel good? Thank you for that. All of this will never assault Satan's kingdom. But I'll tell you something. You preach the purity of God's word and you will assault Satan's kingdom. And look what happens. And all of those, because Jesus was magnified as the way, the truth, and the life, they were coming and they were confessing their practices. And many of those who practiced what? Magic. Now, whether you know this or not, or believe this or not, there are magicians that do fake tricks. And then there are genuine occult forces that do things beyond mere human power. There's a reality to this. Most of what we see, I don't know if you ever caught that show about the magician on Fox would be show how they do these tricks and all that. Much of that is phony, but you may not know this, but there is an element of the occult within Western society that actually is in communication with these kind of forces. You'd be surprised. And they took their books of magic and they burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, in today, that would be millions of dollars. Now that's what Paul was facing at Ephesus. An absolute occult stronghold was put completely on the defensive through what? The magnification of the name of Jesus and the preaching of the purity of God's word. And that's why no preacher today on television and none of these big names makes any impact on Satan's kingdom, because they've sold out the gospel. You want to make an impact for the Lord? Then you preach the purity of His word as it is in the New Testament. And that is what the enemy hates the most. And that is what turned Ephesus upside down. These people that came into that church, many of them were from this occult background. They knew the power of Satan and they knew the power of the name of Jesus. And the city, in 3 years, was transformed by the purity of God's word and the preaching of the gospel. So the word of the Lord, verse 20, was growing mightily and it was prevailing. Now after these things were finished, Paul purposed in spirit to go to Jerusalem. And you know the last time that we know of in the book of Acts that Paul saw these people? If you go to Acts chapter 20. Who do you think Paul called upon when facing a spiritual battle at Jerusalem? Who do you think Paul called upon? Sure wasn't the Galatians. Sure wasn't the Philippians. The only ones that would understand we wrestle not against flesh and blood were the elders of the Ephesians church. Look at it says in Acts 20, verse 17. And from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus. Why do you think Paul sent to Ephesus? Because he knew that these people would understand that behind the veil is a spiritual battle. And he called them. And when they had come to him, he said, "You yourselves know, from the first day I set foot in Asia, I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with humility, with tears, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, teaching you publicly from house to house, testifying of God wanting you to be prosperous through money and through positive thinking." Verse 21, testifying to both Jews and Greeks of what? When's the last time somebody preached a passage on repentance from a televised TBN preacher? You won't hear it. And precious widows in our church, don't you give them their last $25 to those guys. There's going to be a warm place in Hades for guys that rob widows and orphans like that. He preached repentance toward God in faith. And now I am bound in spirit on my way to Jerusalem, the Spirit testifying that bonds await me. And he tells them this in verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know after my departure, savage wolves are going to come in. And what are they going to do? Satan's going to counterattack. Paul drove out the sorcerers. Paul drove out the spirits of the power of the air. And guess what they did? Infiltrated the church one more time. And that's what you're seeing today with 99.999% of all preachers. They have betrayed Jesus Christ for another gospel, as Galatians talks about, chapter 1. And they no longer preach repentance and faith toward Jesus Christ. It's completely different now. And that is because the enemy counterattacked. Be on guard. Savage wolves from among your own selves will speak perverse things. Be on the alert. Well, Ephesus starts out well. There's quite a transformation in that city. Next week we have to go to the book of Revelation. 30 years later, the one church we know a history of. In 30 years, how something that starts out so well can 30 years later grieve God for their conduct.